What is up, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always by my co-host, David Drogemeyer, and we have a special middle of the week John Kegley episode. That's how much action there's been. We had to get John on to get his thoughts on everything. But we are three writers who got our start at San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, and we've been covering the Chargers now for over five seasons, doing our own Facebook Live show, Chargers Domination Live, which airs weekly. And this is our second season, now going on our third season as the host of the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys. Well, we thought the last show was crazy because the Chargers went out and signed Brian Bulaga, but they were not done. And Tom Telesco is getting basically a hat tip from almost everyone, including John Kegley, for what he's been able to do. But the Chargers made a couple more splash signings on Wednesday. But we're going to start with that news. And then to wrap up the show today, we're going to be getting into some voicemails. We have a lot of voicemails. You guys came out in force. And I want to say one thing. Some of these voicemails are a little bit older. We want to get to all of them. And I know as free agency happens, everything happens so quickly that some of them become a little bit, you know, out of touch because you don't know what's going to happen in the future. But I do think they're still important. I think there's still important questions being asked there. So we're going to wrap the show up with that. In the second segment, we're just going to elaborate a little bit on just what these moves mean for the Chargers, signing a defensive tackle and signing another corner in the second segment. But let's go ahead and get into it. Tom Telesco finally made the big splash in free agency for the Los Angeles Chargers when he signed Brian Bulaga on Tuesday, and on Wednesday he had two more splash signings. This is Daniel Wade joined by David Drogemeyer with your Locked On Chargers lead story. Tom Telesco was not finished after finding the right tackle of the future for the Chargers, bringing in Brian Bulaga. On Wednesday, Mike Garofalo from the NFL Network reported that the Chargers had agreed to a two-year deal with Vikings defensive tackle Linval Joseph for $17 million and another $2 million in incentives that he can reach in 2020. And after that, when you thought, wow, this really is out of Tom Telesco's character, Josina Anderson reported that Chris Harris told her that he was picking the Chargers in free agency. The Chargers make two more big-time signings at two positions they really needed help at. So, David, let's start with the Linval Joseph signing. The Chargers released Brandon Mebane, so they had an obvious hole at the nose tackle position, and they're betting big on a player who had a down 2019 season, but somebody that is going to come in and instantly produce at that position.
Linval Joseph is an experienced, run-stopping defensive tackle. It's someone the Chargers have not had in a very long time. He has 11 years of NFL experience, and he is a very, very well-rounded defensive tackle. He has some very, very strong run defensive grades. You know, even last year, which was supposed to be a down year for him, he had a 71.2 overall grade, a 69.1 against the run, and a 62.4 against the pass. So he's pretty consistent on both ends. He is a force. He is a large, large man. He is 6'4", 329 pounds. He is going to plug up the middle. He is actually a very athletic big man. He can run. He can chase. He's a great player, someone who's going to instantly upgrade the Chargers' defensive line and defense as a whole.
He absolutely is. I mean, he had three sacks in 2019, and Brandon Mebane only had three sacks his entire four-year career with the Chargers. So I think it is an instant upgrade. You're not getting one of the premier pass rushers at the position, but when you look at that compared to deals like Michael Brockers getting 3 years, $30 million, you see DJ Reader getting 4 years, $50-plus million, this seems like another really good deal for Tom Telesco, not breaking the bank for a player and still feeling in need. And that's what they did later on in the day. Another big signing I wasn't really expecting for less than I was expecting it for. The Chargers signed Chris Harris away from the Broncos, one of their best players, one of the most experienced players on their team, and brings a lot of leadership to the Chargers with him and fills another big need for the Chargers because we know they're not totally sold on Michael Davis across from Casey Hayward. So, David, this is another big signing. The Chargers get a great player and also take a great player away from one of their division rivals.
Tom Telesco addressing needs, Daniel. This is another need that the Chargers had going into free agency, a corner to play opposite of Casey Hayward, and they picked up a phenomenal corner in that. The 5'10", 199-pound Chris Harris Jr., a nine-year NFL vet and a player the Chargers have seen a lot of over the course of his career. He has made Phillip Rivers look bad on several different occasions, always aggressive, he gets in your face. a little bit of a down year last year, 69.9, which is still 10 points higher than Michael Davis's highest score. So, you know, this is a phenomenal player. In 2018, he was almost in peak form. He had a 78.7 run defense grade and an 84.4 coverage grade. This is a guy that's versatile. He can play inside in the slot. He can play outside. He is a dynamic player the Chargers got for a great bargain. Another need addressed by Tom Telesco.
It was, and he's done a great job at that this offseason, and I think he's been pretty universally praised for these picks. The Chargers miss out on Tom Brady, but come away with a few very valuable veteran players that can come in and contribute right away. And you got three starting spots out of free agency for less than $10 million per season for any of those players. So I think Tom Telesco has been doing a great job. I think this is probably the last of the big spending for Tom Telesco and the Chargers. But hey, he has surprised us before. I'm sure he will surprise us again. But we do have two more segments to get into. We're going to further elaborate on what these moves mean next for the Chargers before wrapping the show up with some voicemails, because we have so many that we had to do some on today's show, coming up right after this. All right, guys, well, it's time to get into the next segment where we're going to elaborate on some of the moves that the Chargers made this week a little bit more, talking about the Chris Harris Jr. signing and the Linval Joseph signing. And at the end of the segment, we even got our friend Cody Rourke over from Locked On Broncos to come on and give us some analysis on Chris Harris and tell us what kind of player he is coming up. So you're going to want to hear that. But first, John, you haven't been on any of the free agency shows. Everything's been happening so fast this week. First, before I get into these specific players, what have you thought of Tom Telesco's overall haul so far in free agency?
So at first, I thought, here we go, Telesco going on his normal signing injury-prone players again. But if you think about it, it's a risk you're willing to take. With the improvement you're getting between Bulaga and Sam Tevi, you might be getting a player who could have high injury risk, but that risk is worth the reward with how much of improvement you're getting over Sam Tevi. Now, if this was an improvement over Michael Schofield, like if we were getting a guy that was going to play Schofield, then you don't really want to take that risk. Schofield played every game. He wasn't great, but he wasn't bad. He played well enough. You're willing to deal with that. And to put a guy that slightly improves with talent, but also risk an injury history of two torn ACLs, a sprained ankle, a bad hip that put him on injured reserve for the year, stuff like that you don't want to risk. But with the Sam Tevi being the guy that's being replaced, you kind of want to take that risk. And then getting Linval Joseph, I love this signing. It is amazing. This is a guy who's going to stuff the middle. When we got rid of Brandon Mebane, I was really hoping we would get a guy like this. I was really hoping we don't have to rely on the draft for it. So, and we got him at a bargain, especially since part of his incentive is a $2 million add-on to the contract. So you save money by adding an incentive. And he's willing to work for that because he's probably going to play every game as well. And the Vikings' defensive line, well, it's pretty powerful. The stats don't probably show eye-popping numbers like an Ndamukong Suh number, but all the other guys were making the tackles because he got penetration for the Vikings defensive line. And with Chris Harris, I am so in love with this signing. I wanted him ever since the season ended and we were first did the free agency podcast. I said I wanted Chris Harris. And now that we have him with Casey Hayward and Desmond King, this is going to be great. Now you just got to figure out what you're going to do for that safety position to go alongside Derwin James. And you could have a lot of interceptions this year now that you have part of that defensive line pick.
Yeah, you definitely could. And I think with Linval Joseph, it's important not just to look at what he was able to do in Minnesota, but look at what Everson Griffin was able to do. Look what Danielle Hunter was able to do on the outside. That's what this guy does. I mean, he fights through double teams. He moves well side to side. I mean, he's just such a force in the middle. He can be the anchor that you really never had outside of Brandon Mebane's maybe first season in the middle. I mean, the run plugging is what you're getting him for, and he's going to do that very well. But when you're talking about production, he's able to push the pocket and much more than Brandon Mebane really ever was, and he makes run stops. I mean, one of the things I didn't say earlier was the least amount of tackles that Linval Joseph has had since his rookie season is 44. And I mean, that's pretty good for a defensive tackle. There's a lot of mid-40s, over-50s, and seasons like that as well. But Brandon Mebane didn't have over 40 tackles one time as a Charger. So I think you're getting much more production out of that. The one thing I worry about with the Strap Harris signing is just the fact that, I mean, you're going to hear it later on when Cody Rourke talks about it. He's a guy that primarily functions at his best in the slot. So you already have a slot cornerback, Desmond King, who doesn't really figure to play outside. And we know Chris Harris does play a lot of outside, but at the same time, he's better in man-to-man coverage, and you're not playing a lot of man-to-man coverage. So I'm really interested, David, to see how this works and how Gus Bradley goes to deploy these guys, because on paper, it looks like right now you have Michael Davis, Casey Hayward, and then two slot cornerbacks. So that's something that you're going to have to figure out, but Gus Bradley's going to have to make his money this year. He's going to have to find a way, because he has the talent to do it. He just has to find a way to put Chris Harris to work at his best. And you think if that's, you know, something that's coming up in contract discussions, that they have some sort of role, because I know he was unhappy with his role last season in Denver.
Yeah, no, that's definitely something to keep an eye on going forward, you know, what position he's going to play. But wow, does Gus Bradley have an embarrassment of riches on the defensive side. I mean, you add another
corner. It's hard to mess up.
Yeah, it is hard to mess up, but you know, I want to see a more aggressive style of defense with these additions, you know, with Linval Joseph in the middle, with Chris Harris Jr. either in the slot or on the outside. You have so many weapons now. It's time to get more aggressive, to blitz more, to trust your corners to, you know, be able to cover and make tackles and, you know, allow your pass rushers to do what they do best. I really, really thought that they missed a lot of opportunities by not really blitzing a lot more and putting a lot more pressure on opposing offensive lines and quarterbacks to move a little bit and have to, you know, make an uncomfortable throw. We didn't really see that a lot last year. I think when you add these two players, you're going to be able to do that a lot more effectively.
I think so too. I think it was a clean sweep for Tom Telesco. I think he got three of the most, you know, valued players on the market, three guys that are multi-time Pro Bowlers. I mean, I don't think he really could have done much more with what he had, and the Chargers don't have very much cap space left. Daniel Popper roughly estimated that they had about $8.5 million left, and that is a rough estimate. So you would think that the big spending is done. But John, do you think there's still a chance for the Chargers to go and try to sign their own guys that they have, you know, leaving, like Damian Square, like Adrian Phillips? I think we all think, you know, Michael Schofield is probably obviously out of the question at this point with the trade for Trey Turner. But do you think that there's any moves left to be made for Tom Telesco? Is it all basically just kind of lower cost signings?
It is basically just lower cost signings. You're not going to get much. I mean, people want to see trades and stuff like that. But unless you're willing to trade like three or four draft picks in the process, that you don't have to sign all those draft picks to make up for that trade that you're going to do for like a Cam Newton or something. I'm not saying Cam Newton's going to be the guy, but I mean, that's a pretty decent contract that you're going to be trading for. So you'd have to trade a lot of draft picks away because you're not going to be able to sign them all. So I'd have to say the big spending is done. Probably all the trading's done, unless they trade draft picks for draft picks. But I think it's going to be mostly going for the draft now. What are they going to do in the draft? I think they figured out they got some big holes filled. Now you can fill more with your first round picks. Probably going to tell a lot about what they do with the rest. If they go quarterback in the first, then you know what's going to happen the rest. If they go Isaiah Simmons in the first, you know there's probably going to be a lot more offensive line, running back type stuff going in the later rounds. There's a lot that can be told by the first round. I think they're going to really, really look at that the rest of the way now.
Well, and they don't really have any other linebackers that they brought in, right? It's not necessarily a very good linebacker class this year in the draft. I mean, there wasn't a very strong linebacker market in free agency either, but there is some guys that definitely got away from them. Corey Littleton would have helped. The Raiders got two pretty good linebackers over there in free agency, but we do have Cody Rourke who wants to give his thoughts and tell us what kind of player the Chargers are getting in Chris Harris. So this is Cody Rourke at Cody Rourke NFL on Twitter and from the Locked On Broncos podcast. Let's hear what kind of player we're getting with Chris Harris Jr.
Hey Chargers fans, this is Cody Rourke of Locked On Broncos, and I want to take a couple moments here to share with you what type of player you guys are going to be getting in Chris Harris Jr. when he straps in a powder blue helmet and a jersey down there in Los Angeles. Now, first and foremost, obviously a great pickup for the Chargers organization. Now, the Broncos, we get to see him two times per year. It's going to be a fun matchup, a lot of storylines on the line, but for a guy like Chris Harris Jr., I think for the Chargers and being a good fit in that defense, look, you got Melvin Ingram, you got Joey Bosa. So you've got Casey Hayward, Derwin James in that secondary. You have a very talented defense on paper. And when you bring Chris Harris Jr. into the fold, I think you can cover a lot of slot options in the NFL, especially when we talk about the Kansas City Chiefs. I think you'll see a primary focus of Chris Harris Jr. lined up on Tyreek Hill when the Chargers play the Chiefs. I think that you're going to see Chris Harris Jr. lined up more than likely maybe against Cortland Sutton, or if the Broncos can get Henry Ruggs in the NFL draft, you're going to see him lined up on one of those two options as well. And look, there's a lot of mutual respect here, I think, for the Broncos when it comes to Chris Harris Jr. I know a lot of fans are upset, but Chargers fans, you guys are getting a great pickup, a guy who is a leader in the locker room, very involved inside the community and outside, wherever he's at, on and off the football field. And he's going to bring the same thing with his family in Los Angeles. He's a smart football player, puts the most amount of time into film study, technique, and preparation. His offseason training program is one of the toughest training programs that NFL DBs say they take part in down there in Dallas with him. So a great pickup. He can play inside. He can play outside. I think primarily he's best suited to play man coverage inside the slot against slot options, but he does have the capability of playing man coverage on the outside. Some of his concerns in Denver in 2019 didn't stem from a decline in his play. More than likely, it was more the fact that he was focused to be playing a lot of zone coverage, playing off the ball rather than playing inside in the slot. He was playing off coverage on the outside in several situations. And some plays, you know, teams would construct to go, they'd run over routes across the middle of the field. And Broncos fans didn't really know at the time that when they're in a cover three, Chris Harris Jr. is not going to go across the entire field to follow a guy. So I think that's where that narrative got pumped out. So Chris Harris Jr. has a lot of football left in the tank, I think. And for the Chargers for the next 2 years, he's going to make them very competitive, and he's going to make them a dangerous defense alongside the talent that they already have. And look, I think it makes the matchups between the Broncos and the Chargers that much more exciting. And I look forward to doing the crossover with you guys over here, Locked On Chargers. Appreciate you guys. This is Cody Rourke of Locked On Broncos. Enjoy Chris Harris Jr. Take care of him. We give him a mile high salute.
Wow. Well, we really appreciate you sending that in, Cody. I mean, you didn't even have to do that, and you offered to do that. So we appreciate it. I know our fans are going to be glad to hear that from someone who's been covering him for so long. So I think the Chargers got a good one. And we haven't talked about just the grit and the leadership and just his aggressiveness that he brings to this team. He's a real dog out there. And I really love the signing because this is not a very physical team with the Chargers. Chris Harris Jr. is a guy who can tackle, and he's a physical player. I mean, this is just what the Chargers are bringing in. And I think they're bringing in the right type of players. But we have a ton of voicemails to get into.
And Daniel, this signing looks even better now that we actually have more contract details. It's 2 years, $17 million with a max value of $19.5 million. He has a $2 million base in 2020 with a $7.5 million signing bonus. And in 2021, the base is only $5.5 million. So it gets even better after we know that it's not even 2 years, $20 million. It's less than that.
Well, I mean, that's even better news. I mean, I know that really the source said that he had said himself, I'm getting 20-something, and that's basically all we had heard, 2 years for 20-something. So I think that's a really good signing for the Chargers and just keeps on adding on to Tom Telesco's legacy so far during this 2020 offseason. But we do have one more segment to get into, getting into our voicemails, because we have a bunch coming up right after this. All right, guys, well, it's time to get into our fan voicemails, and let me just thank you guys because, I mean, there has been an outpouring of voicemails, so much so that we weren't planning on doing voicemails on today's show, but we love the interaction that we have with you guys, and anytime you want to call in and take the time to do that for our show, we want to get it on the show. So we have three to get into today. If you want to be the next caller, the number is 323-524-7924. Every Chargers voicemail gets played on the show. So let's go ahead and get into it. These are all a little bit older, a couple days older, because free agency has been moving quickly. So bear that in mind when you hear these. But today we're going to be starting with Daniel, who called in about a Tua trade last week. Let's hear what he has for us this week.
Hi, guys. Daniel calling again. Thanks for an excellent set of answers and insights to my last question on a trade for Tua, especially Daniel, great name, your take on what the Dolphins can do in a bidding war, and David as well for your excellent research on that Jets-Colts trade in 18. I'd like to offer another scenario today, a defensive tackle, and I think it's a pretty realistic one. So let's assume the Chargers make one significant potential new starter move at DT, probably through free agency. Do you think the Chargers go for that run-stuffing one tech and count on Tillery progressing in 2020 at the three? Or do you see them getting an interior pressure guy, allowing Tillery more time to develop, and then counting on Justin Jones at the one? Right now, I think the ideal scenario involves getting your run stuff from free agency and seeing more pressure from Tillery at the three, and then having Justin Jones as a quality rotational player who can play either spot, hopefully along with Square, who I really like. However, I'm a little worried the sunk cost fallacy might be driving that analysis. It's just so hard at this point to evaluate if Tillery is a sunk cost. And I only really mean that in the short term. I mean, after he's had just 1 year in the league. But at the same time, if you can't create that pressure next year and you don't get that guy in free agency, then you potentially don't have that vital interior pressure at all. And then finally, as an aspect of this discussion, do you think the Mebane release signals trust in Jones at the one tech or an upcoming significant move at the one? Well, thanks, guys, and go Bulls.
Well, this is one of those things that I was talking about that, you know, now that we know the Chargers have Linval Joseph, this is something that we can talk about a little bit more. And now we know what Tom Telesco was going for. And Daniel, I think this even makes you look a little bit better because they went the way that you thought they should. They got that run plugger. They got the guy that can fill those gaps and hold his own at the line of scrimmage and be physical at the point of attack. The Chargers got all of those things in Linval Joseph. And I think even though you said we didn't have to play, I think it was important to talk about it, John, because this does mean that the Chargers have their one technique. So at the three technique, they're going to roll with Justin Jones and Jerry Tillery. He mentions here maybe you have Justin Jones even spell Linval Joseph at the one technique and have him and Tillery on the field at the same time. But one of the things this means is that the Chargers did not go for a penetrating defensive tackle. So either they're, you know, planning on going after another one in the draft, or they're hoping they can get some of that inside pass rush that they've been looking for from a big year out of Jerry Tillery or Justin Jones.
Well, Justin Jones has improved from his rookie year to last year. So maybe he has another improvement this year. Maybe they've seen that and they're expecting that to be what they're going off of. Maybe they're expecting Tillery to become that star his sophomore year. So I can see them actually just sticking with those two guys and letting Linval Joseph take care of his own area, especially since he can take on two guys by himself. That would leave Tillery and Justin Jones to take on a one-on-one block and let Bosa and Ingram handle the business outside. I mean, even if you're not making that penetrating type of play to make a tackle in the backfield, you can disrupt the play in the middle of the field without making a tackle. If you can loosen up Ingram and Bosa with just taking control of the center and guards and let Bosa and Ingram have one-on-one on the outsides, you can handle a quarterback or a running back all day, and your linebacker should just fill the gaps. And that's a simple, simple thing to do. It's not that hard to do. The only thing that's going to be is can linebackers tackle. After what Perryman did last year, that's the only question you have. But I would rather stick with Jones and Tillery. I know it sounds weird coming from me because of my harsh Justin Jones critic, but with his improvement, I'd be willing to take a risk on it and try to improve your linebackers and improve your safety. The safety is what you're going to need. After what happened last year with Jenkins, I don't think you can deal with a big play turning into 80 yards instead of just a 20-yard play again.
Absolutely. I think that's all true. And I think that if you have a rotation of those three guys on the interior with Justin Jones, Jerry Tillery, and Linval Joseph, that's obviously much better than you had last year. Plus, you might be able to count on a little bit of growth from Jerry Tillery. But I do think that remains a big question mark, whether they will have a guy who is going to be able to produce, you know, five sacks on the interior and help those guys on the outside, because Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram were winning their one-on-ones last year, and it didn't result in sacks because the quarterbacks had a lot of room to step up into the pocket still, even though that's something we've been dealing with for a long time. But let's go ahead and get into the next voicemail call, and this is Pat from Long Beach. It's been a little while, Pat. Let's hear what he has to say for us this week.
What's up, fellas? This is Pat from Long Beach. I know it's been a while since I called in, but I'm calling in. This is the 10 p.m., March 16th. Free agency day one, or tampering period, is now over now, and the Chargers were nowhere in the news. Like usual, nobody, I mean, there was a couple sources I've seen about Tom Brady, Philip Dorsett, you know, guys like that, but nothing big. You know, I did see a Joe Thomas thing that kind of brought something to me about Trent Williams, and I was thinking, you know, that might not be bad. We exchange, you know, with the Redskins, make a big blockbuster deal, trade a couple picks, and even possibly try to get their first-round picks to maybe go ahead and draft Tua, you know, because Trent Williams on that left side, ooh. And then trying to still sign Brian Bulaga on the right side, with Pouncey at center, Trey Turner at right guard, and Feeney at left. I don't know. That sounds like a pretty good online to me. But, yeah, so free agency is seeing all these big names leave. DeAndre Hopkins, Houston. I don't know what's going on over there. Lost Clowney last year, no first-round pick in return. Lost Hopkins this year, no first-round pick in return. Yo, if I'm the Chargers, I'll literally offer them a second-round pick and maybe a third for Deshaun Watson. Shoot, hey, they're giving up everybody without first-round picks. So. Yeah, so I want to see your guys' thoughts on the first day of free agency tampering period. I know it's not official, but it's basically like official. And not many guys change up, you know, their loyalty and stuff other than, you know, Anthony Barr last year. But, yeah, you know, there's still some guys out there that I like. You know, Brian Bulaga, like I said, he's still out there. He has ties with our offensive line coach. You know, Corey Littleton's still out there. I think he's a good sideline linebacker. Play all four downs. He's a good special teams player, too. I think he's from San Diego, too. So, you know, that, there goes some ties to the Chargers, I'm pretty sure. You know, I'm hearing Ndamukong Suh. Hey, that's not bad. I would say beef up that D-line him with Melvin Ingram and Joey Bosa. Ugh, that might be sick. Yeah, there's still some guys out there. Darius Slay, I think, is cool. He's just probably going to take a lot of money. I don't know about that. Robbie Anderson, another third receiver for us. Yeah, you know, in the quarterback position. So just give me your guys' thoughts on it. You know, this free agency period is definitely going to determine what we're going to do.
So I think right now, I mean, it's funny because obviously he called in about day one, and I don't think Pat was really panicked that Tom Telesco wasn't doing anything. I think he just wasn't surprised. But I think what we all were surprised about that the Chargers went out and did so much on days two and three. And hey, you even called it. You said Bulaga is still out there. They went and got the Bulaga deal done. But one thing he talks about in this is just that maybe the Chargers could try to trade for Trent Williams, because right now the Chargers still have a massive hole at left tackle. And we've talked about possibly trading for Trent Williams in the past, but he also mentions trying to switch with the Redskins at the second overall pick as well. That is something I don't think is going to happen. I think Chase Young is a guy that you really have to try to go for there. I think the Lions are more likely to move out of there, but I mean, the Redskins still might even go quarterback there. I think it's still really hard to tell what they're going to do, and that would take so many draft picks from the Chargers to make that trade happen. But David, I think that one thing we've been pretty clear on is, yes, of course, if you have a chance to trade for Trent Williams, I still think he has a lot of left in the tank. And it also goes to show you that you can't really, you know, panic on free agency, especially with Tom Telesco, because things are always, you know, on the horizon, and he loves to swoop in after everybody's given out the biggest contract at their position and make some real value signings.
Yeah, he definitely does. But, I mean, the Trent Williams deal would not be a value signing. I mean, if you trade for him, it's going to take significant draft capital and a new contract that we've talked about a couple of times on the show. And given the state of the Chargers' current cap, where they probably have, you know, according to Daniel Popper of The Athletic, about $8.5 million or so left in actual spending money, you know, minus, you know, what you have to pay your draft picks, it's, you know, there's not a lot of space for that. And this is a premier left tackle in the game, a guy that's going to be looking for, you know, top left tackle money, which is $17, $18 million per season, which the Chargers don't really have the space for that. So look to see them address tackle at some point in the draft. They've gotten significantly better on the right side, but they definitely need to get a lot better on the left side. The Chargers don't make big trades like that, especially for draft picks, for considerable draft picks. They've only done it a handful of times. Don't expect Tom Telesco to do it this time.
Yeah, I don't expect it either. And I've said before that, I mean, it's hard for me to believe Tom Telesco is going to shell out $10-plus million for three separate offensive linemen. And I think that's what he would have to do in that case. I mean, potentially much more than that if he's not happy with the current, you know, double-digit million contract that he has right now. But I think the pick itself in making that move, I think that the move itself, though, is something that obviously any of us would be on board with. But we do have one more voicemail to get into, and I love getting voicemails like this from all around the country. And this is one that makes sense from where he's calling. This is Brandon calling from North Carolina. Let's hear what he has to say.
This is Brandon from the beautiful Blue Ridge Mountains in North Carolina. Huge Chargers fan. Since I live in North Carolina, I just saw Cam Newton fill in the trading block. So, if you don't know, Panthers fans are half and half on loving and hating Cam Newton. Now, I just want your guys' thoughts on if you guys want Cam or not. Go Bolts.
Well, Brandon, this is something we talked about a little bit yesterday. I know that you probably heard of that episode as well, but one person that didn't get to give their take on it was John Kegley. So me and David kind of gave our thoughts on a potential Cam Newton trade. We were both against, especially the trade part of it, you know, both on the waited out campaign, make them have to cut him and then sign him if you had to. But John, what would you think of the Chargers potentially going after Cam Newton?
I think the best way to do this is what I hear David Drogemeyer do all the time. That is, hell no. I would like to avoid that at all costs. I don't think he is mentally into the game anymore, and I don't want to deal with that social drama type stuff anymore, but he is just mentally depressed. Like, ever since the Super Bowl, he just hasn't been the same guy. Team just took 30 hits on him, and you could just see him getting ready to cry lots of times. He doesn't even look like he's that into the wind anymore as he used to be. He used to jump around after a touchdown. Now it just looks like he does a quick celebration and he's on the bench. Like, I don't think he's the same Cam Newton. I'd like to avoid him at all costs, and I'd rather just not trade for a quarterback at all. If you're going to do anything more quarterback this year, draft one. If you don't see a guy in the draft you want, stick with Tyrod for one more year, and then worst case scenario, you trade like your next 3 years of draft picks to go after that one quarterback that you absolutely think is the franchise QB next year.
Yeah, I get that. And I think we're all kind of on the same boat. I would say that Cam is only a couple of years out of a really productive season, but at the same time, with his health, that's what basically every NFL team is worried about. I heard Diana Rossini from ESPN just saying that when you talk to any NFL GM, the first thing that comes up with Cam Newton is health. And so for that cap number to be able to fit that cap onto your roster, I think is unlikely for the Chargers at this point, given the moves that were made, you know, recently weren't the moves that were made when you made this call. But I think we're all pretty much the same on Cam Newton. But if it's to try to bring fans into the stadium, I would definitely think the Chargers could do that more with Cam Newton. But so far, the reports are they're not interested in that. But hey, you never know. But that is going to do it for today's show. Thank you to everyone who called in for today. Lots of voicemails. I really appreciate it, guys. Once again, the number is 323-524-7924 if you want to get your voicemails on the show. But until tomorrow, guys, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC. If you see anything funny or smart on Twitter, it's coming from Dan Talk Sports. I just want to get that out there right now, just so everyone knows who all the great posts are coming from. If it's biggest
Chargers fan, #HumbleBrag.
Or David Drogemeyer, I mean, it's okay. I mean, I think we all know it's fine. But follow us on Locked On LAC regardless. And also subscribe to us wherever you get your podcast from. You can find the Locked On Chargers podcast there. Well, what a week, boys, it's been. And we have one more show for you guys tomorrow. Maybe some other news comes up, but we'll see then. Until then, guys, we'll talk to you later. Take it easy and go Bolts.